Well, do keep Psalm 20 open during our time for the next few minutes. May I add my welcome to that of Christians. My name is Matt, and we'll be looking at this psalm. I was just chatting to Jeremy. We were saying that it feels like a bit of a neglected psalm that Jeremy felt sad for, because, of course, we know Psalm 19, and we might know Psalm 22, Jesus' words. We might know Psalm 23, but Psalm 20 we're a little less familiar with. Psalm 20, verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. We all know that feeling, that day of trouble feeling, that feeling of dread as we enter the exam hall, or that feeling as we make our way to an interview, the nerves in the moments before kickoff, or that feeling which some of you have experienced as expectant mothers when the contractions quicken. That stomach-churning feeling where you take a difficult call. Or maybe just the feeling at the start of the day when that first thing has gone wrong and you think, gosh, this is going to be a tough day. We all know that feeling, that day of trouble feeling. Will it be okay? Will I pass? Will we win? Will there be a happy ending? Will we make it through? Well, the Christian asks this as well, because the Christian life can be full of difficulty. Social isolation, temptation to sin, hearing the deceitful lies of the devil, weariness, and eventually sickness and death. The Christian's calendar is full of days of trouble. Look it up this coming month, and you'll see the day of trouble. Look up next month and you'll see days of trouble. Scroll through the years and our calendar is full with days of trouble. Days of trouble brought about because we follow the Lord Jesus. And you might think that you're in one now. And we wonder, don't we? Will it be okay? Will it be all right in the end? Will we make it through? Well, Psalm 20 is poetry set in the day of trouble, the moments before a great battle. So let's take those feelings and let's imagine ourselves there. Imagine the walls of this building have gone, they've disappeared, along with the buildings of this city, and we're standing there in the open field, clouds above our head, the breeze in our face, grass beneath our feet. And we're standing there as a band of warriors, waiting, nervously waiting, and then a sound. It begins softly, but grows louder and louder, the thud, thud, thud of soldiers marching, the clink, clink, clink of their armor. And we see them appear over the brow of the hill, and with every step, they pour towards us. The day of trouble has come, and a wave of dread passes through our ranks. Lips dry up, knees feel weak. The moment of decision is here. Will we stand or will we fall? Will we be cut down, bodies strewn on the ground, or will we rise in victory? We see the king, he saddles his horse and off he goes. He rides out to meet them, and as he grows smaller in the distance and is swallowed up in the silhouette of the oncoming army, a voice cries out from our number, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. O Lord, save the king. Well, come back with me to this building. And let's look at some of the details of this psalm. The impression that we're given is that we're in a battle. So verse 1, the day of trouble and protection, the need for protection. Verse 2, help and support is required. Verse 3, offerings have been made. Verse 4, plans have been drawn up. Verse 5, banners, they're fluttering. They're either fluttering presently in the field as we wait for battle, or it's the desire for the victory bunting on return. Verse 7, the language is of chariots and horses. Verse 8, bodies cut down. Verse 9, the cry, God save the king. The setting of this psalm is a battle. And this is a psalm of petition as well. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. He's asking God, he's petitioning God, may he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire. May we shout for joy over your salvation. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. It's a psalm of petition. And feel the intensity of the petition as well. After each line, what do you notice at the end of each line? Can you see it? An exclamation mark. Now, in the original Hebrew, which these psalms are written in, there are no exclamation marks. But the translators have put them in there to emphasize the weight of the petition, the strength of these petitions, so that we feel the intensity, the urgency in which they're being made. And these are strong petitions made for the king. Reading these verses for the first time, the obvious question to ask is, who's the you? Verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. It's not an us, it's not a we, it's a you. And so who is this you? Well, verses 6 and 9 show us that it's the king. That is God's anointed king. Verse 6, the Lord saves his anointed. Verse 9, the Lord, O Lord, save the king. So this is a psalm of intense petition to God for the king. May the Lord answer you, O king, in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you, O king. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. And it's not hard to understand why such urgent petition is made for the king. Because, of course, the king is the head of the people, which means that if he is victorious, the people are victorious. But if he is defeated, well, the people are defeated. And so when the day of trouble comes, the cry of his people is a plea that the king would not be overcome, but would be victorious. Will it be okay? Well, only with the Lord's help, and so they cry out desperately. Will there really be victory? Well, only if the Lord grants it, and so they cry out desperately. Will we make it through? Well, only if our king does, only if he survives. And so they cry out, O Lord, save the king. In the first instance, this psalm, it would have been sung about King David. So King David, he was king over Israel between 1010 and 970 BC. And he was God's anointed king. And as part of his office, he was there to subdue the nations, to, conquer the land that the Israelites were in, and to rule over his people. And he is the one that wrote this psalm. And although he's not mentioned here by name, Psalm 18, which is parallel to this psalm, for reasons which I can explain later if you'd like to ask me, well, Psalm 18 finishes like this. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. You can imagine the people of Jerusalem singing this psalm as David leaves the city, mounted on his horse, with men-at-arms following in train, off to fight the Philistines, or the Moabites, or the Ammonites. Or you can imagine David's army taking up this song on the eve of battle, battle with the Canaanites, or the Amalekites, or Edomites, as they pitch their tents and as they sharpen their swords. May the Lord answer you, King David, in the day of trouble. May the name of the Lord, of the God of Jacob, protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. O Lord, save the king. Answer us when we call. And the cries of his people were answered. If verses 1 to 5 are petitions made in the moments just before the battle, verses 6 to 8 are reflections made in the moments after. The king has survived. The Lord has saved him. The people conclude in verse 6, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand." The Lord has saved the king. The Lord has not allowed his king to be overcome by the enemy, but rather the Lord has given him victory. During David's reign, he won many, many battles. He had incredible success. He had conquered Moab. He had struck down the Edomites. He had captured the Ammonite capital, Rabbah. He had had many encounters with the Philistines. And the Lord had given David victory wherever he went. So in the day of trouble, the people knew who they could turn to. Verse 7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." The Lord saves. And seeing the Lord give victory to the king, well, they trust the Lord for their own victory. The king's victorious outcome will be their victorious outcome. Verse 8, they, that's the enemy, they collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. The Lord will save his people. The enemy will not overcome. His people will have the victory. You can imagine the Israelite army returning from battle, coming to the city gates and being greeted by loved ones. The sound of tambourines and laughter, the spoils of war being passed out, the smell of the victory banquet wafting through the air. The day of trouble is over. The Lord has given victory to his king and to his people. Ultimately, King David, he was a type, a foretaste, a trailer, a foreshadow for King Jesus. Jesus is God's anointed king. We heard about that in Psalm 2 a few weeks ago. He is the one that the Lord has set on his holy hill. He is the one who will subdue the nations and be a refuge for all those who come to him. And we know that Jesus had many troubling days in his life, where he likely would have brought this psalm to mind. He was tempted by the devil. His village tried to throw him off a cliff. His own family rejected him. His friends denied him. He grew weary. He was man-hunted by the establishment. And in the end, he was arrested and mocked and beaten and put on a cross. Jesus faced many troubling days. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation. And in the name of our God, set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. O Lord, save the king. And he did. The devil couldn't overcome Jesus. The authorities only played into his mission. God raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand, the victorious king. We now know that the Lord saves his anointed, and he will save us too. We too will be victorious. I find verse 8 so comforting. They collapse and fall, but we rise, we stand upright. We will not be overcome. We share in Jesus' victory. I began by getting us to imagine ourselves in that scene of battle, in the open country, in the field, grass beneath our feet, clouds above our heads, the breeze in our face, facing that oncoming army. And we imagined the king saddling his horse and riding out to meet them. And we felt what it would be like in that moment, the nervous dread, the churn in our stomachs. Would this spell victory or defeat? Well, we know the outcome for him and for us. The Christian life is difficult. It is full of days of trouble. We will have experienced social isolation, temptation to sin, hearing the deceitful lies of the devil, weariness, and eventually sickness and death. Our calendars are full of days of trouble. We are still in the heat of battle. And we will wonder, will it be okay? Will we make it through? Will it be all right in the end? Verse 7 and 8. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. Let me lead us in a prayer. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Father God, we thank you so much that you saved your King, the Lord Jesus, from all the trouble that he faced. We thank you that he is the victorious King, and we thank you, Father, that we share in his victory. And as we meet many days of trouble this week, this month, this year, and in our lives, Father, please would we remember that you are the one that grants victory, and that in the end, it will be okay. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.